Please grab your Bibles and turn to Genesis 2, verse number 7. Genesis 2, verse number 7. The message I've got is real, real simple. It's a real simple thought. I was joking with Brother Schmidt and during prayer time last week. I said, I'm just a dummy with a Bible. I mean, that's it. That is it. So, you make your way to Genesis 2, verse number 7, as I make my way over there. Real far turn, I know. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the good morning we've had. Lord, I thank you for the good evening we're going to have. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come freely and openly into a good, heated, and cool church and the luxuries that we have in the country that we live in. Lord, I thank you for it. God, show yourself real in the simple words that I have to say. Lord, use me in the way only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you look in verse number 7, it's Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." God formed man out of the dust. The title of the message this evening is Be Like Dirt. Be Like Dirt. You know, it's a very elementary message. Haha. Everything starts here on this earth with dirt, from dirt to dirt, goes back to dirt. Everything. Wood, sheetrock, paint, oil, plastics, metal, materials. Everything comes from dirt and goes to dirt. We're from dirt. You know, so you mean that I'm saying that we're the equivalent of dirt? Pretty much. I mean, we're pretty much about as worthless as dirt. You know, the Bible says in Mark 10:8, Jesus says, "There is none good but one, and that is God." You know, we're not good at all. In fact, we're quite worthless. We're worth dirt. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, as you walk through today, there's nobody perfect. There's nobody that's just and right in every area and aspect. Even people that are great men of God. And you know, me and Brother Decker talk about this often, and even Pastor Schmidt, we joke around. We say, look at Charles Spurgeon. I mean, he smoked a cigar. I mean, you know, and not that it's a big deal. But everybody has little bitty jots and tittles in their Christian walk and in their life, and that they look at everybody else. They look at a Christian that's only been saved or a person that's only been saved for about a year. Oh, I'm better than you. I've read my Bible forwards and backwards like Brother Bussey's dad. How many times a year does he read his Bible through? About 10 times a year. That's a lot. That's almost once a month. I know I can count. That's wow. But, I mean, that's a big deal. But, I mean, I met your dad, and he's a very nice person. Very, very humble person. He's not a real God puffed up guy. And even a lot of the doctors and things at different places and things, you look around and they're proud and haughty, and it's almost as if while being used by God, they're not letting God work. Everything comes from dirt. Dirt doesn't say, oh no, I'm not going to be used to make glass because glass is made out of sand. Dirt doesn't say, oh no, I'm not going to be used to make out of sheetrock, to make sheetrock. Paint has clay in it. Latex paint, the base in latex paint is clay. That clay doesn't say, I don't want to be paint. If you look and really think about it, we're all one thing. If you're saved, you're a sinner that's saved by grace. If you're lost, you're a sinner. That little three-letter word in Romans 3:23, for all means all, and that's all means. This is where the idea of dirt comes in. Like what I just said. Dirt is willing to be used. Why can't we be used? Is it because we're too old or too young or too busy or have too good of a job or too good of a position or too smart or not smart enough? Or No. The reason that we're not being used is because we're not willing. There is no secular world and spiritual world. There's a spiritual world. We're the dummy that separates the two. There is no separation. There is no, especially for a saved person, there is no separation. You're either a missionary or the mission field. You're either an example or an example, an impression on somebody, or you're a hold down, a drawback, a crutch. In Luke 19:13, the Bible says, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come again." That's the parable that Jesus was speaking to the people in Luke. Occupy. 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 That's a word that me and Brother Schmidt talk about on a regular basis. Occupy. Occupy. What does occupy mean? Occupy means to fill a void, to take up a space, to captivate the attention of, to occupy. To occupy. What occupies us, and what do we occupy? That parable right there, and as you know, two servants turned something of what they were given, and one servant went and hid his, and the master came back anyways. And that's a very well known and read over part of Scripture and preached on part of Scripture. And are we going to be like the servant that returned nothing? They gave nothing back? God's not... When God's done with you, He takes you out. You're here for a reason, for a purpose, for a plan. There's a reason that you're being used. There's a reason that you breathe. There's a reason that you talk to who you talk to on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Is there always an opportunity to hand a track or to have some really lengthy, theological, deep conversation with somebody? No, there's not. There's not. But if I was to stand up in a lineup of people, what's the difference between me and somebody else? What's the difference? What do people see different in me? Do they see Jesus in me? What is the difference between me and somebody else? Am I like dirt? Be willing to be used and molded into whatever little mold God has for me to be pressed into? To be exactly what God wants me to be, exactly when God wants me to be it, exactly how God wants me to be it, exactly like what I'm supposed to say. Because if I don't say exactly like what I'm supposed to say, somebody can miss it. And somebody else's blood is on my hands. Like the song I sang this morning, "Had It Not Been." You sit and think, Jesus prayed in the garden, "Let this bitter cup pass from me. Let it pass from me." You know, even the angels have a free will. I mean, look at the devil. He has a free will. He has a free will. He could have chose to stay in heaven, but he didn't. We have a free will. We have, through the Lord, the ability to be able to do exactly what He wants us to do, exactly when He wants us to do it, to say exactly what He wants us to say, no matter how smart, how wealthy, how well-read, how well-spoken, how well-dressed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Philippians 3:14 says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the mark. So, do I press toward the mark and stop? No. Do I press toward this mark and stop? No. Do I press toward this mark and stop? No. Because each step you move forward, a little bit further forward, a little bit further forward, a little bit further forward, the mark moves higher and higher and higher and higher. God raises the bar just a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. You know, somebody said one time, if you're not closer to God today than you've ever been, you're backslidden. Backslid. That's a deep thought. It's a little bit more than knuckle deep. If you're not closer to God today than you've ever been, you're backslid. Are you going to be willing to let the breath of God breathe life on you? To use you? Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? How much time do you give to God? Do you give Him a tenth? Do you give Him a 16th? Do you give Him a 20th? What little bit of time do you give to God? What do you give to God? What do you give to God? There's nothing different between us and a lost person other than we've accepted Him into our heart. Jesus died for all men. Christ died for all. There's that three-letter word again. All. A-L-L. All means all, and that's all means. There's no difference between somebody that got saved at 8 years old and somebody that got saved at 78 years old, other than a little time. God loved and died for that person just the same as He loved and died for you. God's not a respecter of persons. He's not. He respects all of us an equal amount. God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God giveth to all men liberally. He giveth wisdom to say what we need to say, when we need to say it, to who we need to say it to, how we need to say it. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is pray, read, and study. Give me 1 second here. Turn over to Romans. Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12, we're going to read Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And if you read down to verse 2, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It is our reasonable service. It is our reasonable service. God gave His only begotten Son, the only one He had. And this is just elementary, simple stuff, stuff that y'all have probably heard a million times. And it's just, I just can't get over it. I just can't get over it of how God would give His only begotten Son for somebody no good and worthless as me. Somebody that's worth dirt. God gave His only Son, the only one He had, come and die for us. And it is our reasonable service. Our reasonable service to serve God. Our reasonable service to do what He wants. Reasonable service. Not irreasonable service. Not higher than we can obtain service. Not you have to have a college degree service. Reasonable service. Reasonable service. You can say you're a Christian. You can say you go to church. But what do you look like in the workplace? What, how do you work? How do you carry yourself? I mean, you don't have to use curse words or anything like that. Do you have a good attitude? Do you have a level head? Are you calm and collected and kind? How do you respond to different people and different things and different ways that people talk to you? Are you scared to be used by God? Is that a scary thought? Are you scared that if God calls you to some deep, dark pit in Africa? He didn't call everybody a deep, dark pit in Africa. I'm just letting you know. He called some people a Hartsville, Alabama. Ah! But, you know, what are you doing right now? What are you doing right now? How are you occupying? How are you filling the time? How do you fill the time? How do you fill your day? How's your attitude? Are you ready to witness to somebody at work? I mean... First off, you've got to get your salvation out of the way. Are you saved? If you're saved, great. After that, then what? You don't just get saved for hell insurance. It's just not hell insurance at all. It's our reasonable service. It is our reasonable service to be fit, to be a fit vessel to be used. Reasonable service. Just simple stuff like that just boggles my mind. Just little bitty things through God's Word is just unbelievable. What's worth letting stand in the way of being used by God? What's worth letting stand in the way of being used by God? You know, time is one of the most valuable things that we have here on this earth other than the soul. People pay millions upon millions upon billions of dollars a year for one more breath. For one more breath. For one more word. For one more second. You know, it's our reasonable service. It's our reasonable service to witness, to talk to be used. Money's going to burn. Houses are going to burn. I mean, all it takes is one magical, mystical virus to collapse the entire American economy, as though it seems. All it would take is one idiot in China somewhere to press a button and send us a nuke. And poof, gone. Poof, that's it, gone. No more. What's worth letting be in the way? Huh? What's worth letting me in the way? I'm not some educated doctor, theology, whatever. I'm just a dumb boy from Louisiana. That's it. That is it. I don't know, I don't have a big plethora of huge words that just fit the situation perfectly. Not at all. I have, the most syllables I use is like three. It's about as high as I can count. But I've reached the point to where it's, Lord, anywhere you want me. Any way you want me. Wherever you want me. Use me. It's my reasonable service. It's my reasonable service. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The Bible also says to let the Lord set the desires of your heart, that He will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean, like Brother Decker had preached on, what was it, Wednesday night? He preached on praying amiss, the giant of prayer. Sunday night. See, you can tell I was paying attention. Sunday night about praying amiss. Do we pray amiss? What do we pray for when we ask? When we pray, what do we pray for? What do we pray? Do we just pray to have, oh Lord, help me have a good day. Help me have a safe trip to work. Lord, help me to make money. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Is that what we pray? What a knuckle-deep prayer. Really. Wow. To pray amiss. That's just little things. Just little, simple, elementary things just boggle my mind. Absolutely just boggle my mind. And it's just, what are we willing to let stand in the way? What are we willing to let stand in the way? What are we not willing to give up? What little bitty pet sin are we willing to hold in our life? What little bitty pet sin? What is it? What is it, that nice bass boat you got parked in the shop you don't want to get rid of? Is it that nice four-wheeler you don't want to get rid of? Is it you like going to play golf? You want to get rid of that golf club set? It's that big, nice, lazy boy with that big, nice, flat-screen TV you got. What is it? What is it you're letting stand in the way of being 110% sold out? That doesn't mean you have to go to the mission field. That doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. It doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. It doesn't mean any of that. It means to be the exact person God wants you to be, exactly when God wants you to be it, exactly how God wants you to be it, to who exactly God wants you to be it to. It's real simple. It's simple stuff. Real simple. Not deep. This is not bogged down in the grass stuff here. This is very elementary, simple, little bitty things. Simple. Simple. How many people do you see on a daily basis? How many people do you see on a daily basis you could talk to that you could say, hey, I go to Bethel Baptist Church. I'd love to have you. And they don't have to get saved in church. You don't have to get them to church to get them saved. You could say, hey, can I share the gospel with you? Can I share the gospel with you? There's people that you'll meet on every now and then on occasion that'll see something different. They'll see a glow on your face. Like when Moses came off the mountain and came back down to the people after they'd been partying or whatever. The glory of God shone about His face. It was on His face. It was in His countenance. He was just, the glory of God just shone about His face. Why when we sing, oh, victory in Jesus. Why do we sing like that? Why are we not excited? Why do we not have a fervor, an excitement, a zeal? We've lost our luster. We've lost it. As an American Christian, we've lost it. We have no more zeal, no more luster, no more long. It's gone. It's gone. Why are we stopped pressing toward the mark? Huh? Why? What have we let get in the way of being like dirt to be used? What? Just a simple question. I said, just a simple message, a simple question, a question I've had to ask myself. Paul said, I die daily. Paul had to set his flesh aside daily. One of the greatest Christians to ever live had to set his flesh aside daily. Had to submit daily. Submission is not just a daily thing. It's a moment by moment. All it takes is a split second to make a terrible decision. To mess up. To ruin your testimony. To not be used. To not go where God wants you to go. To not do what God wants you to do. All it takes is one moment. One moment. You meet somebody, God says, hand that person a track. And, oh, I'm too busy. I know with me, God picks the worst time on the worst day when I'm late and running behind and stop by the gas station, put gas in my truck to get to work to say, hey, give that person a track. God, I don't have time. Oh, you don't have time. Oh, okay. Wow. I didn't die for you anything. That's kind of what runs through my head. We don't have time. We don't have time. Our sanity hangs on a string, on a thread. All God has to do is click. That's it. That's it. Our world is held together by God and nothing else. That's it. That's the only reason we breathe. Our breath isn't ours, it's lent. It's not ours. It's not our life. It's not our stuff. America is one of, if I'm not mistaken, of only 3 or 4 countries to have storage containers and gyms. Storage buildings and gyms. Wow. Yeah, okay. So does that tell you what we put priority on? Having eating meetings and having stuff. Stuff. I love to eat. I love food. They can attest to that. I love food. I love to have fun. I'm a fun addict. I like a good time. But am I going to let that good time get in the way of doing what God wants me to do? I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I want to be out somewhere riding my jet, you know, riding my four-wheeler, you know, driving my truck down the road or something, you know? The flesh doesn't want this at all, whatsoever. But the Lord worked on me in a way to be like dirt, to be used. I'm the clay, He's the potter. I'm the child, He's my father. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. Be like dirt. By your heads, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you for the good evening it's been.